Wow. Don't tell me hymns can't bring the presence of the Lord in here. Wow. There was one section in there, complete me, complete me, complete your works in me. Wow. 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 Whew. This is an interesting day for me. Pastor Dave, thank you for giving up your pulpit for me. Pastor is a great friend. We meet a lot and have interesting talks. We just did a prayer like last week. We just decided to do it, and I think we're here an hour and a half. It doesn't matter, two or three together. Wow. Man, God is good. So before I get going in the message, I feel like I'm a part of a team, and so I got to get my I got to get my jersey on, so just hang on a second. God is awesome. God is awesome. He's been pouring out on me for a few months. He backed off. I'm trying to recalibrate everything. So all I can tell you is God is awesome. So I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I come before you. Father, I stand here as a humble servant. I'm a sinful man, and I repent for that. But Holy Spirit, I give you full authority over the words I speak. I pray the anointing on me. Work through me, Lord Jesus. Let the word and your power go forth. Let the healing, let the depression be gone in Jesus' name. Satan, you have no authority in this place. Your demons and principalities must go in the name of Jesus. I pray for those that are listening online that you awaken your ears to hear what the Lord has today. Father God, I just come to you and I pray for our church family here. Allow your word to go forth, be planted on good ground. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. So, God is awesome. And guys, I got to tell you, when I do these messages, you may think they're for you. I hate to tell you a secret. They're really for me. Because this is how God's been instructing me. And then I feel like, well, if it helped me, I pray it can help you. So we're talking about order. What does that mean? Shopping cart order? Order in the court? Out of order. And yes, that is a payphone, folks. It was before telephones. But let's do a little family feud. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Before I go into this, I come at it a different angle, guys. I'm not a pastor. I don't consider myself a speaker, but God has an order. And so before we get into that meat of it, let's talk about some stats. The suicide rate in the United States is up 33% from 99 to 2017. That's 14 suicides per 100,000 people, folks. We got 330 million people in the U.S. Food insecurity. Food insecurity at 10.2%. That's 13 million homes in the United States that don't know where their food's coming from. 5 million of those are kids. How does that happen? How does that happen? We're the most powerful nation on earth. And we have no hope. There's people that have no hope. Bankruptcies. Now this looks like a great chart, doesn't it? It's going down. It's going down. But let me tell you something, folks. If you look at 2001, when the towers came down, you look at 2008, when that fiasco happened, look at where we are, folks. Something's coming. I just want to put a few things in your mind, because I'm going to tell you, when God has called me to become evangelist, it's a different way. I'm an accountant. I run my own company. Here's what I'm telling you, folks. The gold standard was taken off currency in August of 1971. President Nixon said it was temporary. Something's coming, folks. Something's coming. And I just want to put in your mind, mark the date. It wasn't all over the news, but September 24th triggered something, I'm telling you. Now keep that in mind, the gold standard. Now, let's go to marriage. Marriage is at a 50-year low. Let's say yay. Don't say yay yet. Let's remember, the Bible was taken out of schools in 1963. Roe v. Wade was implemented in 1973. So you got 1963, 71, we took the gold standard off. 73, we allowed abortion to be legal. God is not going to bless a nation that is enslaving its people and killing its babies. But thank God Roe v. Wade this year on June 24th was overturned. So while the divorce rate sounds great, it's going down. Everybody's like, okay, that's encouraging. We're in the U.S. The marriage rate is in the toilet. Pardon me. Guys, 63, 71, 73. These are the stats. These are not my stats. Back in the 70s and 80s, women had to get out of the household to go work. You have to have two incomes to survive. What is going on? Guys, it sounds like the system is rigged. And they're trying to destroy the family. I'm saying it, but the stats are saying it. How is God going to bless that? It's coming, folks. June 24th, 2022, we made that pivot. We have to stand against abortion. It's evil, demonic. It's not right, and we have to stand for it. This is pushing it back to the states. We have to make sure Ohio does its job and doesn't allow abortion. I'm sorry, but we cannot allow that to happen. The systems are rigged, folks. Something is going to happen. And what happens is man is evil. And evil works through man. And Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And I'm sorry, folks, these stats prove it. But what's God's plan? God's order is this. Put him first. So let's go to Matthew, chapter 6, 32 through 34. I'll put it up there. We got to remember not to get caught up in material things. When God's plan is to put him first, he sets it up in these verses. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and have his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now remember, Pastor always talks about the therefores and the buts. So we got to remember that transition is that but. So we look back. He knows what we need, but we have to seek him first. Okay, so let's go on. Therefore, hello, we got to look back so we can look forward. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Guys, these are conditional things that God is laying out for us. Really focus on the underlines. It's all conditional. He knows what you need. He does. He knows what you need. Do you think he created us not knowing how to supply for us. If you believe in his salvation, you got to know he knows what you need. That doesn't mean you need a $500,000 house and a Lamborghini. You need shelter and a place to get back and forth. I'm not saying you can't have nice things, but I'm saying he knows what you need. It's a foundational principle. If we trust him, we live for him, we pursue him, he gives us that guarantee. It's conditional, folks. Oops. But, put him first. It sounds so simple, so easy. Greg, you're making it sound, I know it. James tells us we're going to go through trials, folks. But we have to put him first. His interest has to be before ours. It's conditional. It's a guarantee. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. It's his plan. Because he knows what you need. If you put him first, then why are you worrying? Why are you anxious? Listen, when I read that, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm a financial guy. I'm always thinking. I got 15 families to think about. I got to make sure payroll's met, you know. So I got to worry about my own family, but I got to worry about 15 other families. So, yeah, it's natural to worry. But why is it when we worry, we get focused on trying to fix our own problems when he tells us, if we put the condition of going to him first, he knows what we need. We don't need to worry. It's called balance, folks. I put it on a teeter-totter. I'm an illustrator. So this is the part of the teeter-totter. It's our relationship with God. That's why he is awesome. Because when you put him first, everything can come into order. We have balance. Okay? Easier said than done. Trust me, folks. It hit me. But that's easy. God first. But what's the other side? How do you balance everything? Well, we're getting into marriage. Okay? It's order. Singles, don't ignore this. Business owners, don't ignore this. Managers, don't ignore this. If you are responsible for people, don't ignore these principles. I don't care it's about marriage, but we will get there in Ephesians. So, when we put this in order, of course we have parents. The only way you can get married is you got to have a mom and dad. Yes, the craziness on the left. You have to have a man and a woman to conceive a child. I'm sorry. Period. Okay, but we're going to get into those details a little bit later. But parents play a role in this. And, of course, spouse. Okay. So in the order, in God's order, you got to put him first, and then it's your spouse. Okay? So as we transition the spouses, you know, we go into Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. And we all know this. Here's the fun part. Here's what guys, this is probably the only verses guys know most. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Definitely the word submit. And then they'll kind of gloss over the next part and then go, for the husband is the head of the wife. Okay, well, folks, Guys, that's not how it works. You can't ignore as to the Lord. You can't do that. There's a reason God gives order, and that's his way of structuring our lives to keep everything in order. For, yes, the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Hello. I don't think you can save your wife's salvation. Only Christ can. There's a reason why he gives us these principles. Because your submission is not to just your spouse. It's to Christ first in that submission. Again, let's go back. It ties back to Matthew 6. They're connected. So when you're in perfect submission, that means the husband is acting in a Christ-like fashion. So I got to tell you, what this hit me over the head is, for 28 years, it took me 28 years to figure this out. I didn't sometimes have my order right. I love my wife, don't get me wrong. But until I made the decision at 53, 52, I had to make sure daily, Lord, be first in my life. Lord, let me love my wife as Christ loved the church. I do it every day. I have to. Because if you don't, your life's out of balance. You have to do that. So conducting yourself in a Christ-likeness, so it makes it tough if you're in a marriage that your spouse may not be a Christian. But that doesn't mean you still shouldn't, as a wife, submit. You have to submit in an order that is Christ-likeness. You still pray for him. You put Christ first. Christ knows what you need. He knows what your spouse may need. So let's put this in perspective now. So guys, just so you know, this is what the Bible says. So there's roughly 4 verses for the women that explains what their duties are, okay? I'm just saying, numbers mean things to me, and it's roughly 9 verses for the guys. You said it, I didn't. So guys, we're not out of the woods. It takes twice as many verses to get through our thick skulls what our responsibilities are. So we go on to 25 to 28. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the watering by the word, that he might present her to himself glorious church. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Guys, I transitioned that into my own piece because it hit me when I read the verse about the wife, that how can I expect her to give me the respect if I'm not loving her? If you can't love your wife as yourself, how can you have a relationship with God? Your balance has to be there, folks. It has to be there. And when those bodies are coming together, that's one flesh. We have to act in one flesh. So men have to be selfless instead of selfish. But remember, that kind of love for your spouse, that on both sides, that comes with faith in Jesus. That's how this works, folks. You can't discount Matthew 6 and try to operate a marriage in this way. You have to tie those together. You have to. So, husbands, these are some rhetorical questions that I had to ask myself. Because within those verses gives you some challenges. Are you the spiritual leader of your house? Because when this text was written, they would go and get the teaching and bring it back to the home. when we talked about those stats, they're ripping the home life out. So we have to apply God's word right now. So men, are you being the spiritual leaders of your house? Do you love your spouse like yourself? Because husbands and wives have needs. And God knew what those are. He already tells us. He already knows these things. He knows men are looking for respect. But the only way that respect comes is you must love your wives and be that spiritual leader of your family. That's your responsibility, men. Women are looking for love. That only comes when you respect your husbands as he's following the Christ-likeness in your marriage. So, our marriage transition falls a lot on us men. It's time for us to step up and be men. Be men of God. And guys, I am not being critical of whatever your situation is. These verses apply to your situation. If you're having trouble in your relationship or you're divorced, it's okay. These fall in line with God's word. He knows what you need. Whether you need that companion, whether you need that love, he is there, but you have to apply Matthew 6 to set that foundation. Singles, I told you, you're not being left out. I didn't put the verses up there because I want you guys to understand. It's important to understand the union of Christ and the church. That's the foundation principle in Ephesians, is he's given us our marriage responsibilities for both men and women, but within that context, it's for all of us. We're the bride of Christ. And he's given us the example of how much he loves us. He loves his bride. He loves his church. He gave himself up for it. So singles, I encourage you, as you prepare to look for your spouse, don't veer away from these principles. It still applies because it's a foundation principle. We must submit to him first. And that leads us into a solid marriage. So third in this order is family. So you got to have God. Got to have your spouse, your family. Now the family, clearly, we're starting with the children. So we go to Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. My mother-in-law does a great job. She constantly says that. Boys, obey your parents, because that is a promise to live long upon the earth. Let me finish that it may be well with you, and you may live long upon the earth. There is something by obeying your parents is that same conditional foundation, folks, as the relationship we have with God. If you obey God's word, you're going to be okay. Your life's not going to be in as much chaos. But in this circumstance, God's teaching us that we have to put that training in for your children. And so let's transition. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Guys, men, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to train our children in the admonition of the Lord. We can't buck that. You can't push that off to your spouse. It's our responsibility to make sure of that. And again, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I have two older kids, and I wish I could do some things over again, but I can't. But what I can promise you is if you dedicate them to the Lord, and they're saved, and you did your best job of training them, I'll pray for you. I want the best for you, but I can't make your decisions for you. Okay? So don't blame your parents. It's easy to blame us. And I don't remember doing that, but I may have done that. Mom and Dad, I'm sorry. But you can't blame the parents. But parents, you have a responsibility to teach your kids. It's not the school's responsibility or government's responsibility. It's your responsibility. But it's the promise. Kids, if you obey, you will be well and have a long life. So there's that balance with younger and older kids. So when you're younger, you know, that 18 to 0 to 18, it's you have to obey your parents. Well, you should obey your parents. As you get older, it transitions into respect and love for them. Because in verse 2, they're honor. I'm not sure. I think we have lost honor according to what the statistics is showing. Do we honor our parents? And if you're in your 20s and 30s, 40s, 50s, I don't care. If your parents are still around, you have a responsibility to honor them. And what does that mean? Well, it's defined as high respect, show special merit, recognition, and esteem, great privilege, good name and reputation. Don't blame your parents for mistakes. You still have a responsibility. If you got saved, even if they had nothing to do with it, you need to honor them. You need to honor them. That's hard, but God's grace is sufficient. It's our responsibility to honor our parents. It's important that we honor our parents. And I'll give you an example. My mom's in a challenging place right now, and so my dad's constantly with her. But I knew he needed to go down to West Virginia the other week, and it was just, man, I'm busy. But I told Jennifer, I said, you know, I don't have anything Friday. I said, I got this one meeting. I'll leave after that and thank the Lord it went the wayside. But I had to make a sacrifice. I was running up doing something for myself on Wednesday and Thursday. I came back and then had to drive them down to West Virginia. So I was on the road 20-some hours in a 3-day event. But it was important to me that God impressed upon me that it's not about you, Greg. It's about you honoring your parents. So don't miss the opportunity to honor your parents. Don't do that. If they're still here, you love and respect them. So when we talk about this, so we take all these verses together, and it's a balancing act. So you can see, you've got God's relationship, spouse, parents, kids. That's called life. But let's remember, we've got the differences between Christian and non-Christian families. And so it's a challenge, but faith in Christ, if you're in a Christian family, and this means your kids too, no matter what their age, we have a responsibility to each other. That are we respectful, even at a young age, if you're training them. So we've got to do a better job as parents in the younger ones to get that respect. But if you're older, if you all have faith in Christ, that has to balance it. You have to have respect for one another because we're all a part of the body. We're all a part of God's church. Because the flip side, in non-Christian families, they don't have a foundation. It's chaos, it's demanding, and it's unfair. And here's what's transitioned in all this. His parents want to be their kid's friend. You can't be their friend. I'm sorry. You have to be the parent. Sometimes they need to hear the word no. That's just what it is. So there is a difference with honoring your parents when you add that mix of Christian and non-Christian. Your lives as Christian parents should be that fruit that the other parents see. Doesn't mean your kids are perfect. But if you don't have the chaos other families have, God is awesome. Tell them why you don't have the chaos. Because I put God first, my marriage second, and my family third. I keep it in God's order. Because when you add all this, now you add all the activities. Okay? Now let's think about this. When we put things in order with your activity, you got kids' activity, you got work, you got your own selves' activity, you know, church activities, holidays. I mean, we could add on to that list. Okay? So all these things on the far side, you got to balance with God's relationship. But God's relationship is you got to pray, worship, read the Bible, fellowship amongst each other. And you know what? Guys, sometimes we forget. If you're in the ministry, it's work. It's work. So this is the balance of life of what we're working with. And here's what happens. Is when the balance gets off, you don't change any activities on your side. What happens is you change the activities on God's side and he strengthens your life. And the only activity you got left is you say, Lord, why did you do this to me? Why did you put me in this situation? No. 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 It's balance, folks. And understand, activities, you can get hooked into church activities that pulls you away from your relationship with Christ. You have a responsibility to balance that. But if you're putting God first, your marriage and your kids, keep that in order. You have a responsibility to your family. And I'm sorry, if too many church activities is taking that time where you need to be together, you should rethink that. That's important, folks. And I'm not criticizing activities at church, folks. It's important for that fellowship. But I think some tend to go overboard. And this is what gets your life in trouble. So as you take this all in, this is about order. And I hope you see the relevance of this is when your relationship with Christ grows, you have to enact these activities to build that relationship. It's like with anything. The only way you know to marry your spouse is you got to talk to her, you got to go out to dinner. Jesus is the same way. Christ is the same way. He knows what you need. And really what he's saying is he knows you need him more than you realize. But all these things are foundational with Ephesians that tie back to Matthew. It's foundational. So when you put God first, you keep your life in order. So think about that. When you put God first, your life is in order. That's key. So, Pastor Dave, can you do me a favor? I got my crew here. So, you know me, I always do things a little bit different. So I brought a crew with me today to help bring this whole thing together because, you know, facts and figures, it kind of gets you down. But anyways, so I'm going to pray, and we're going to do this last thing, and hopefully you appreciate it. Father God, I come before you. I just praise you and thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the words that you've given me to speak. And Father, I pray that this is word that will go forth beyond these walls. And through those that are on the internet that hear it, Lord, just allow this to be planted in good ground and grow. Father, I thank you for my family, and I thank you for my spouse, Lord. I thank you for being first in my life. Father, I just pray that your hand be over this, the rest of this service, over every area of ministry here, and I ask this in the name of Jesus. So, turn that up. Listen to those words. A son and daughter, the King of Glory, the King of Glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of Glory, the King above all kings. So, chaos. Justice. Folks, there's something coming because God is in order. And the best way we can explain that is my crew here. They have something, they have a message for you. It is Him, He got the whole world in His hands. He got the wind and the rain. It is Him, He got the wind and the rain. It is Him, He got the wind and the rain. It is Him, He got the whole world. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. So, kind of my message was summed up with, I should have just brought them out earlier and I could have been done. God's got this. He's got the whole world in His hands. And God is awesome. So, I want us, you guys can come on up. And I'll give you the mic here in a second. But I want to explain something. These are testimony shirts. And we're going to have some extra ones back there. I just bought a bunch. And so I'm not a person that's going to go give a pamphlet to somebody. But if you want a shirt and we don't have your size, just let us know. I'll get more, I promise. But I think we can use this as a testimony that if somebody comes up to you and asks why God's awesome, just tell them what He's done for you. Just tell them what He's done for you. It's time to break down the walls. Because we have more in common than we think with mankind. And so, before we go, I hit Peter, kind of hit me, to finish this up. This shirt is a representative of what Christ did in your life. But let's remember what Peter happened to Peter when the first girl came up to him. No, I don't know what you're saying. Second girl comes up to him. You know that man, Jesus? No, I don't know that man. Then the crowd came to him. No, I don't know that man. We cannot be afraid to share Jesus. Because he's got the whole world in his hands, and it's all under his control. It's all under his control.